Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Conversations with David Icke, my guest today and good friend. Good morning, David.
Hello, Maria.
How are you doing?
I didn't get that.
How are you?
All right.
Because I know the last time...
I'm 96, and now he is at work, as they say. I'm fine, actually. I'm a lot stronger than I have been, because, of course, I've been pretty ill for the last... few months, I am coming out of it, but it's not quick. It's you have to take it slowly, or otherwise you just go back to where you were. So, but I'm functioning and I'm getting a lot of work done, and I'm doing it more efficiently in the sense that, you know, I'm making sure that I have some downtime as well when I can just chill.
Because, you have to.
Funnily enough, I've got a quote here from Leonardo da Vinci, which I keep next to me to keep reminding me. It says, every now and then, go away, even briefly. Have a little relaxation, for when you come back to work, your judgment will be surer, since to remain constantly at work will cause you to lose power. And so I keep that beside my desk, so that I keep reminding myself to, say, this is enough for today, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, we live in such dastardly times that it's very understandable, like people like yourself, myself, even Richie. You know, we just have to take a break. And if we don't take care of ourselves, you know, first, everything else is going to suffer anyway. You know, I, too, have been down for quite a few months. And I'm learning the art of relaxation.
Well, I think the thing with me is that I was living off adrenaline for a long time, years, probably decades, just to keep going at the rate I was. And it's come now to the point where it's been put in my face so that I can't keep going like that. Because if I had done, I'd have killed myself. And because of this adrenal burnout, it means I don't have the adrenaline. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I will eventually again, but at the moment, I don't have the adrenaline to live off.
Right.
Therefore, I have to live within my means, if you like, without living off fumes. And so when I reach that limit, I know immediately, here and no further today, because I get really tired really quickly. But what it does, it's been good for me, really, because it's given me pondering time. It's given me let my mind go where it wants to go time. And I've always done that. I've always been a daydreamer in that sense. But I'm doing it more now, and it's been very effective and in gaining insight into things. Because, you know, my focus from the start, my reason for coming into this, there are many reasons, not least, I was thrown into it.
Right.
Get in there and do it.
Me too.
We'll tell you now. I didn't tell him before, but get in there and do it. But the thing consciously, if you like, that really got me interested in this whole arena was the nature of reality and how we interact with it and how we can either be controlled by it or we can use it for our own desires, if you like, our own lives, what we want to do. We can manifest things we want to do rather than having life on the face of it anyway, and it is only on the face of it, dictating to us. And it was that which really got me interested. And then, of course, what you start doing is you ask the question, okay, well, why isn't this information, which I was coming across and starting to get into 25 years ago, why isn't it taught in the schools? Why isn't it on the media? Why are there television channels galore all over the world, but hardly ever do you see a program of any type, shape, or form that really looks at these basic questions? Who are we? Where are we? Mm-hmm. What's the nature of reality? And so I start asking those questions, and of course what happens is you start to realize very quickly that it's not there, or it's not there by accident, but by design. So the next question is, well, who's designed? And of course, once you step into the whole conspiracy, the whole global conspiracy through why is the nature of reality not explored? Why is it suppressed? Why are alternatives to religion and mainstream science, waved away in ridicule and dismissal by reflex action? And if you come in from another point, why is information about UFOs suppressed? Why is the banking system this? What happened in 9/11 and all that? When you come into this arena through these various endpoints, these various individual subject gateways, if you like, then the vista opens up, the panorama opens up, and you see actually it's not just about the suppression of whatever, you know, brought you in. It's about the mass suppression of everything to the end of human and global dictatorship and control, which actually goes way outside of the public arena, and indeed even outside the human arena, if you dig deeply enough. Mm-hmm. And so what's happened to me is, you know, having been through this 25 years of researching all these different subjects and weaving them together, I've come to, and I've kept this whole theme going in all my books, you know, who are we, where are we, what's the nature of reality?
Right.
Because unless you have some understanding of that, some understanding of the illusory nature of reality, you can't understand how the control system works, because ultimately it's controlled by people and non-humans in the shadows that understand the illusory nature of reality, and they're manipulating us by manipulating the illusion while telling us and selling us the idea that it's all real and it's all physical and it's all solid and the illusion is real. And so I've done all that, but I'm now really coming back round to focusing on this whole area of reality and who we are, where we are, and all that. And it's a thing that you know, really excites me more than anything else, because it's the foundation of everything. So,
right.
You know, the illness in a way has had a lot of benefits in terms of the work, because it's given me time to, if you like, stop chasing the wagons, and in terms of responding to things every day as they unfold in the news, although I still do that, but, you know, with, you know, not all day, every day.
No, I totally understand.
Yeah, it's given me time to just ponder and look at what I really am fascinated by. Because this is, as you know, Maria, is where the answers lie. It's ultimately where the problem's coming from,
exactly.
The manipulation of reality while keeping from humanity the nature of reality. Mm-hmm. But it's also where the answers lie, because, you know, it's like throughout the alternative media, with honorable exceptions, and there are honorable exceptions, the focus is still in the five sense world, and it's still based in the answers to what is happening being in the five sense world. They're not, for a simple reason. In effect, there is no five sense world. So you're kind of chasing an illusion there to start with. And it's interesting to me when I when I observe the alternative media, to see how so much of it is a mirror in the way it operates and in the way it perceives of the mainstream media that it so dismisses. And yet it works in basically the same way, because the mainstream media has a wall called mainstream everything. And anyone that goes outside of that is ridiculed, condemned as dangerous, or ignored altogether. But if you look at the alternative media, so much of it has its own wall.
Right.
And sometimes that wall is religious belief, and sometimes it's mainstream science belief. And so when people come along who are challenging both of those beliefs, then much of the alternative media will dismiss and condemn them and ridicule them, I know from my own experience,
right,
as much as the mainstream will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that people have their own norms. And if you have norms which are immovable, and norms from which you judge everything, then you're always going to go so far, but absolutely no further. Because we perceive a reality that, even according to mainstream science, is so tiny in terms of what we can visually see compared with what there is to see.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the illusory physical, or what I would call holographic world, on a tiny planet amid, I mean, look at the night sky, anybody, look at the night sky and look at it. And that's only what you can see within this tiny, almost laughable frequency band that we can decode visual reality. And to have any belief or any thought that you can know what there is to know, or know what you need to know to get a fix on things, within that tiny frequency band, within this infinity of forever, is utterly ludicrous. And yet, that is what we see. If you look through history, even in the mainstream, when people have come along with things that challenged orthodoxy, they got the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And were again ridiculed, dismissed, called dangerous or whatever. And then with the hindsight of time, they were shown to be right. And then people in that period say, yeah, he was right. You know, wasn't it terrible the way they treated him? They were so stupid. How could they not see it? It was so obvious.
Right.
And then they do the same to people in their world, in their timeline, in their time.
Right.
Frame.
Well, it's kind of reminds
you
exactly
that the same way. The
right.
program just keeps repeating, mm-hmm. while convincing the people who are repeating the program that they're not repeating what has been going on throughout what we call history. It's laughable. And this is why when you look around the world at people who have had some awareness, it's always some awareness, not total awareness, it's some awareness, more than the norm, the program, people
right.
like Socrates, the Greek philosopher, people like Confucius, and so on. There is a theme. They use different words, Maria, but they say the same thing. And it is, wisdom is knowing you know nothing. and that is the way to open the mind to all possibility. And not accept everything that you hear, of course not, but to look at it,
mm-hmm.
to look at it dispassionately, to see if it makes sense to you, to see if it stands up to you
mm-hmm.
and for you. But what happens with the program is people dismiss things outside of their norm by reflex action, and never read about it. They never research it. They never question it. What they do is dismiss it, because by definition it must be dismissed because it's so different from the norm, and my norm can't be that wrong.
Right.
Indeed, my norm can't be wrong at all. And it's in these realms of human psychology and human self-imprisonment, because that's what it is. When we talk about closed minds, it's just like closed prison cells. It's at these realms, in these realms of understanding and in these realms of awareness, that the answer lies, to break the prison, not the prison cell, to break the prison spell which has been cast on the human mind. And so this area that absolutely fascinates me is what my focus and where my focus is going now.
Well, that's a good focus. You know, I'm a little slow on movie watching, but last night I rented that movie, The Avengers, and I was pretty surprised to see that the bad creatures from outer space were called the Chitauri, which I know you've written about in your books, but they make it very clear in the movie that the human race was born to be subjugated.
Well, all around the world, in culture after culture, using different names, this is the thing where pennies can drop, big pennies can drop, is that all these different names for the gods around the world and the ancient world, all these different names for the gods and goddesses are just different names for the same force. Mm-hmm. And the common themes are stunning, of a force that is hidden, that manipulates humanity from the unseen via possession and manipulation of human perception. Hence the last book was called The Perception Deception. Mm-hmm. Is directing human society. But we're back again, Maria, to what I've just been talking about. Mm-hmm. To appreciate how an unseen force, well, to appreciate, first of all, how a force can be unseen is a start. If you think this world is solid, and this reality is the entire reality in terms of its solidity, then you're never going to get past first base with anyone suggesting that we are manipulated from the unseen. Because, I've come across people in the so-called alternative media who have dismissed what I say with, well, if these creatures exist, if these aliens exist, if these entities exist, why have I never seen them? They can't get their head around the fact that anything could be going on that they can't see.
Right.
Because they don't understand that actually what they think they can see is a tiny, almost ridiculous fraction of frequency. Mm-hmm. that we can decode into some kind of visual reality. So there you go. I mean, I've been saying this all these years. If the alternative media does not start getting its head around the nature of reality and the illusory nature of physical reality, then it's going to go round and round and round and eventually disappear up its own backside and get absolutely nowhere. Okay, it's great. And mm-hmm. The more the merrier, who are exposing, things like 9/11 and banking scams and manipulated wars. I do that myself. I've done it for a long time, of course.
Right.
But if that's all you do, then you're still caught in the illusion, because they are manifestations, physical manifestations of things that are happening and being projected from another level of reality by entities and forces that are beyond human sight. So if you don't start to get an understanding of the illusory nature of physical reality, then you're always going to dismiss that stuff, because you're going to say, well, that's not possible, that's ridiculous.
Right. Well, it kind of reminds me of history. You know, when the invaders first came to America, they say that the Native Americans didn't see their large ships because it didn't exist in their reality. They had never seen anything like that before. So when the ships were docking, they didn't see them, because I think it's the same reason a lot of people say, oh, I can't see UFOs, I can't, you know, they pay no attention to chemtrails. I think that they shut down their reality, and if it's something you've never seen in your reality, you don't even see it. You don't even see it in front of you. It's like a Houdini trick.
Well, I think that's what it is, and I think it's systematic, because for me, what I call the program and the system are actually mind programs, collective mind programs, designed to hold people's attention almost entirely in the five senses, so they're not aware of anything beyond it. And so what happens is that if you are shut down to the point where you cannot access a connection with your greater consciousness beyond what we think we're living in, the world we think we're living in, then all you've got is that level of, I was going to say awareness, but it barely is, that level of perception that is left once that disconnection has taken place. And therefore, if you're not getting insight from the greater self beyond the program, mm-hmm. then you have no reference point. You have no reference point to perceive the program from outside of the program. So all the information you're getting through your life are from programmed parents who've been through the same system you're now going through, and they have programmed you with certain perceptions from birth, not overwhelmingly because they're malevolent, but because they think that that's the best for you, because that's what the program has told them. You then go to school and you get further programming of your perceptions. You're told what is right or wrong. You get programmed into accepting authority and not questioning authority, because there are consequences if you do. You go to university and it gets onto another level. The media's been, the people running the mainstream media, and indeed, as I've said, the vast majority of the alternative media have been through the same program and bought most of it, if not all of it. And therefore, by the time you get to a certain age, if you have allowed this disconnection to take place, your only sources of information are coming from different expressions of the program. Mm. Thus, to you, the program is normal. The program is real. Your program is how things are. So when people, whether they are in the alternative media, the mainstream media, or wherever, when people come across those that are challenging the program's perceptions, well, of course, their reflex action response is to attack them, dismiss them, or wave them away. And this is the program at work, and they can't see it. You see, I see people in the alternative media talking about sheeple. They'll talk about, don't be a sheeple, don't believe all you're told.
Right.
And then on Sunday, they'll go and sit in a church, and they'll believe what some guy in a pulpit tells them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so often, what people dismiss as sheeple are those that don't accept what the person calling them sheeple is saying. So they must be sheeple because they're not believing what that person says. But there are different expressions of what these people call sheeple. And that is believing anything by reflex action without question. And, of course, there's a great chunks of the alternative media in the United States particularly are very influenced by Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And thus that colors so many of their perceptions of where they will go and where they won't go.
Right, exactly.
And so wherever you look, it's like getting paint on your hands. Everything you touch, you put paint everywhere, and the program's like that. And it's so important that everybody, are constantly on their guard to make sure it's not the program speaking or the program thinking, and it is actually consciousness making its own decisions and coming to its own perceptions.
Mm.
And of course, you know, I come across so many people who are believing that they are awake, and if someone says I'm awake, well, they've lost the plot already. No one in this reality is awake because of the pressures to stay asleep. What we are is awakening. This is the point, awakening. So wisdom is knowing you know nothing. Therefore, you never awake, you are awakening. And when you're awakening, by definition, you are constantly opening to more and more and more. And if you get to a certain point and you say, I'm awake now, I've got it, well, you've right. lost the plot for the very reasons I was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. which is how can we know everything within this tiny frequency band, and when our connection to that level of self that does know, it is all-knowing, is that connection is so targeted by the program to silence it or cut it off altogether. And so it's obvious that we are going to know more and more and more as we allow more and more and more to come in by opening our minds to all possibility. But within this deeply manipulated reality, within this biological computer that I call the body, obviously there's always going to be more to know, and that's essential that we keep that in mind, because that keeps the mind open and doesn't shut it off saying, well, no, I've got it now. Mm-hmm. And when you look around, you see the belief that all that people need to know is between the covers of a single book, be it the Bible or the Quran or whatever. It's just nonsensical.
Right.
That's all you need to know.
Right. As you say, all religion is a form of madness.
Well, in the sense that if you take a sense of balance and harmony to be sanity, and states of distortion and disharmony to be states that are outside that, if you like, base sanity, that base harmony, then the world, not only religion, the world itself is mad. It's completely insane.
Right.
And it's one of the things that helps you kind of not just see it, but live in it, really. Mm-hmm. Because if people are trying to make sense of the world and make sense of what happens in the world and what so many people say and believe in the world, then they can start looking at themselves and thinking, well, it must be me, because everyone seems to think the same or say the same or basically think along the same lines. And I don't think like that, so it's got to be me. They can't all be wrong, and I've got some validity in what I think. And yet the opposite is the case, because if you go into an asylum, then to the inmates, their asylum is the norm. It's normal.
Right.
You go in there and start challenging their normal, they'll think you're mad because you're outside their normal. And that's precisely what the world is like. And it's so simple to bring an end to it. I can describe in one sentence the base foundation problem from which all else comes.
Okay.
The arrogance of ignorance.
That's a good one.
And ignorance is not, especially today, it's not, but give them time, of course, it's not ignorance that has to be. You know, before this information age, if you like, it was difficult to find information that challenged the norm, because, you know, the religions had such, you look at the horrific violence that the religions used to keep any challenge to the fairy tales that they were selling quiet and away from people. If you want to talk about that, fine, but you'll get burned at the stake tomorrow.
Right.
Today this information is available, but so what has happened is that the diversions have had to be increased dramatically. And this is what it's about. If you are a conjurer, a magician, then while you're doing something with your left hand, you want people looking at your right hand. Mm-hmm. And that's how magicians work. It's all about moving attention away from where you don't want people to see. Mm-hmm. And this is what the system does. And so this, I mean, there are many reasons for this, not just what I'm about to say, but, you know, the addictions, because that's what it is, this addiction to smartphones and iPads and all this stuff is a massive diversion. All the celebrity stuff, all the pap, everything that they try to grab your attention with and pull you over here, you know, Simon Cowell's latest crap, come and have a look at this.
Right.
That they're all the magician getting you to look in the wrong direction. So we don't have to be ignorant of so much because the information is there if people want to go and find it and look for it. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, along with ignorance comes arrogance. You see this in the media all the time with journalists and stuff. It's not just that they haven't bothered to check anything because it's outside their norm, so they don't have to check, because by definition it's got to be nonsense. But they arrogantly believe that without checking, they know what stands up and what doesn't. And they know they're right, and they know for a good reason, because their parents told them, the education system told them, the university
right.
told them, their colleagues tell them, when they pick up newspapers or watch the newsroom telly, that's telling them, scientists tell them, doctors tell them, and so on and so forth. And so when you put this arrogance and ignorance together, they are the walls of the prison in many ways, and we all have the ability to take those walls down. Mm-hmm. By realizing wisdom is knowing we know nothing, and therefore opening our minds to look afresh at everything, and not being so arrogant that think we can know it all at any point, and therefore dismiss any challenge to what we know. I mean,
exactly. Well, you know exactly what you're talking about has happened here. I'm sure you're following the news in the United States with that shooting at the church, 9 people dead. The same weekend, there were 2 other shootings, I think, in Detroit and in Philadelphia. And then the big argument about the Confederate flag. But at the same time, no one was watching as the Senate gave Obama fast-track approval for the TPP. And as the NDAA with indefinite detention of American citizens was re-upped. So they put out those pablums.
That's exactly how it works.
Right. They put out those pablum stories for the sheeple. So in a way, there are sheeple out there because everybody was so interested in those stories. But they're not interested in the bills that are curtailing everybody's freedom.
Yeah, I'm not saying that sheeple don't exist. What I'm saying is that those that label people sheeple need to have their eye on themselves to make sure that they're not sheeple in their own way either,
exactly.
by just believing what they're told rather than questioning it and researching it.
Right.
I mean, you know, people have livings to earn, they have families to bring up, they have lives to live. And, you know, I'm not saying that they should research every last thing that they ever hear. What I'm saying is, if you haven't researched it, don't dismiss it until you have. Otherwise, all you're doing is dismissing by program reflex and not by actual knowledge and information.
Very well said.
It's a line that Einstein talked about, where he said, basically, if you haven't researched it, don't dismiss it. You know, dismissal without investigation is the height of ignorance, or worse to that effect, is what he said. Absolutely, that it is.
Right.
So, you know, when I hear something, I might say, that sounds strange to me, but I'll either look into it but, you know, I can't dismiss it because I don't know. I've not looked into it.
Right.
And that means you keep things on the back burner instead of putting them in the trash can.
Right.
And it's amazing how often, if you put things on the back burner, that information will come through eventually to show you actually there is validity in it. Mm. And it is something you need to look at, because it can give insight. Mm. But if you've dismissed it, and, you know, I mean, these things like the Skeptics Society, you have them in America, we have them here. They are there basically to rubbish, trash anything that is outside the norm, either scientifically or in terms of conspiracy or anything.
Right.
They don't question. That's not the point. People say you should be skeptical. No, you shouldn't. You should question.
Right.
Being skeptical in the sense of the Skeptic Society is very different from questioning.
Right.
What the skeptics do in that definition is they set out from the start or conclude in their minds from the start that what is being suggested outside of the norm can't possibly be true, and therefore they have to set out to rubbish it. They don't set out to see if it has validity. They set out to try to show people it doesn't, and that's a very different thing. It's, you know, I've been on some television programs with some of these skeptics people, these academics and psychologists and stuff. And honestly, they are so ignorant of so much, it's unbelievable. They dismiss things like homeopathy because they say it can't possibly work, because you can't dilute something that much so there's no substance left and it have any effect. Well, they're coming to that conclusion and rubbishing homeopathy in the mainstream media from a point of complete ignorance, because what homeopathy is about is not the substance so much as the frequency of the substance,
right,
which stays in the dilution. I've shown this in the books. The ignorance, again, is what is behind the dismissal of homeopathy. And we have a chief medical officer for the government here, Dame somebody or other. She must be clever. She's called a Dame. And one of these Queen's titles. And she has said that homeopathy is rubbish, but from a point of view of complete ignorance.
Right.
And, of course, the media then come from the point of view of the mainstream. Thus, they dismiss homeopathy because the mainstream does so. The scientists in the mainstream say it's wrong, so by definition it's got to be wrong. That's where they come from. And it's the program again. You know, people call themselves journalists, they call themselves scientists and doctors and all these other things, bankers, but they're actually just expressions of the same program. And so they respond in the same way, and they come from basically the same information source,
mm-hmm.
and thus they confirm each other.
Right.
We had a court case here a few months back where a mother was challenging the doctors who wanted to give more chemotherapy to her son that had cancer. And the boy was suffering from the chemotherapy, which is, you know, as one doctor said in this country, one not far from me, it's like putting weed killer into people. So she wanted to go through to an alternative way, and the father, who was estranged, didn't want it because he bought the system, even though the effect on the boy was terrible. And so the mother went to court with the father to have it decided. And, you know, I read this story, and I thought before the hearing happened, there's no way in the world that mother can win. Because what's going to happen is a judge from the system, representing the system, is going to hear the, quote, evidence. And the evidence will be given from the dock by doctors who are from the system and representatives of the system. The father is going to support the system because that's what he's been programmed to believe, that putting weed killer into people can heal them. And so the mother is left there against this wall of programming and system worship, and has no chance whatsoever. And what happened? The judge made the obvious decision in the end about the boy and his treatment. And it's that this is what you see all the time.
Right.
This is what I talk about, the madhouse and the and people in the asylum supporting and giving credence to what other people in the madhouse say and believe and do, because that's how the madhouse works.
Right.
It is. It is this. Reality that we're experiencing is a lunatic asylum.
Absolutely,
it has to be. We've allowed it to be, and that's what it is. And until people realize that, until that penny drops, then they're going to start or continue to look around, trying to make sense of it from the point of view that it somehow is sane. So why do they do what they do when when they appear to be intelligent people?
Right.
Well, they do what they do because it's a madhouse. That's why.
Well, that's why I changed the name of my news shows to News from Planet of the Apes, because I look at this planet like it's just like in the movie, the Planet of the Apes. David, we're going to take a short break. Stay with me because I have a topic so many people want more information on. So when we come back, I'm going to pose that to you. So stay with us, David,
okay.
And I will be right back.
Wow. One solid hour of commercial-free information thanks to you. The person who wants truth has the integrity and understanding to support it with your donation and subscription. Maria believes people can handle the truth and delivers it tirelessly with those with ears to listen. 14 years on the net. Won't you take a moment right now to commit to a subscription of your choice at www.maria.net. That's MERIA.net. Over 1,100 hours of pure education all in one place, 24/7 and all downloadable. Knowledge is power. Sharing that knowledge is wisdom. Together we can change the world and create real hope. Now let's get back to the Maria Heller Show.
Okay, welcome back. I'm speaking with the one and only David Icke, and here's the loaded question. Lots of you are sending me articles, different types of articles, asking about the moon. Is the moon a construct? Is it a hologram? Does it exist? Do we really get light from the moon? So I had promised some of you that I would ask David, since he covers the moon so well in the Perception Deception. David, when you look at the moon at night, what do you think?
I think that is a focus for human collective control. I'm just getting the perception down off the shelf. I was sitting here exactly where I'm sitting now a few years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to start work for the day, and there was an energy just appeared around me. I've felt it often, and it's like you just go into another reality, in a sense, another state of mind. And what then started repeating is, the moon is not real. The moon is not what you think it is. Mm-hmm. And I'd have thoughts over the years before, off and on, about the moon. Something just didn't feel right about it. And I was thinking, what is that really? And so I, after this experience, I put a few words into a search engine to the extent of the moon's not real. What is the moon? And the thing that came up was a book called Who Built the Moon? By a couple of researchers, and I sent for it, and I read it very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it was looking at the evidence that the moon is some kind of construct. And the evidence was extremely compelling. I mean, the mathematics and the relationship in terms of the Earth, the moon and the sun is extraordinary. It doesn't work with the rest of the solar system, but it works with those three. And the kind of synchronicity went on, and information kept coming to me as in the way that it does. And it was all along the lines that the moon is not real, and that actually it is a point of human control. And then I came across this long article written in 1970 by two Soviet scientists who were members of the Soviet Academy of Science. And they put forward their belief that the moon was either a construct or it was a part construct. It was hollowed out. And they went into detail about what they thought it was, and how, coming from that point of view, it explains so many anomalies about the moon. I mean, there was one scientist, I think from the Smithsonian Institute or one of those organizations, got it in the book, who said that the only thing that you can really say about the moon is it's an optical illusion. It's not real because it shouldn't be there. You know, when you look at the size of the moon to the size of the Earth, there's no way in the world, and this is what, you know, mainstream scientists have pointed out too, that a satellite of the Earth, the size of the Earth, should have a satellite that big. I mean, what is it, 2,160 miles in diameter? It's bigger than Pluto. And it's one of the biggest moons in relation to a planet in the solar system. I mean, what's going on? And then what I started to do was come across legends and accounts from, you know, native peoples and ancient peoples of the time before the moon, mm-hmm. where the moon wasn't there. And then I talked to Kroda Mutwa, the Zulu shaman, who was giving me the Zulu lore and legends about the moon. And they say that the moon is an egg. And the moon is an egg. And of course, you get anthropologists and people going along and they say they think the moon's an egg. They're very primitive. Well, the reason they talk about it being an egg is because they say it's been hollowed out. The yolk's been taken out. And he was telling me the story of the Zulu legend that the moon was hijacked somewhere else in the great beyond, and it was put into place where it is now by two Chitahuri, two reptilian gods, which the Zulus call Wawani and Umpanku. And what is said about Wawani and Umpanku is the same as what the Sumerians said about Enki and Enlil, the two leaders or gods, leaders of the Anunnaki, the non-human gods who you find in the Sumerian texts and tablets. They were said to be two brothers, and Enki was very connected symbolically to water. And in the Zulu legends, Wawani and Umpanku were called the Water Brothers. Water Brothers. Again, brothers, like the Sumerian stories of right. the Anunnaki. And you put all this together, and this is what you have to do over a long period of time, is weave all this information together, see the common themes, see the cross-references. And there was another story that came out about a project, a secret project that took place in Africa in the 1990s, where it was claimed by an apparent whistleblower that at a kind of mini CERN, where they were messing with reality, some center in Africa. It's all in the perception deception. they interacted through computers with an entity in another dimension. This is how the story goes, this detailed story goes. And it was claimed that they asked this entity 20,000 questions or something like that in a period of years, many years. And what I was interested when I read this article, it was a long article, and I came across mention of the moon. It wasn't about the moon; it was about this project and this interaction and what this entity said. First of all, the entity said, this is long after I've been writing about it, a long, long time afterwards, that humans are manipulated by a non-human race that takes a reptilian form, and that the reptilians are obsessed with technology. It's where all this technological transhumanist crap comes from, because of their obsession with technology. Anyway, that's for another day, but it talked about the moon. And it said that the moon is not real. It's not what people think it is. And that it is a control system for humans. And that it is, and actually this was amazing to me because I'd already written this in previous books,
right.
That it is broadcasting a frequency within the brainwave frequency range of human thought, and it is projecting and broadcasting a fake reality, a matrix, very much along the lines of the Matrix, which we are decoding into what we think, because, you know, the reality is not solid and physical, we're decoding it. So just as the television decodes information and the computer decodes information, we are decoding information. And if that information is broadcast on the frequency band that we can decode, then you can broadcast a fake information source, which becomes a fake reality in the decoded world of those that are the targets. And I think, as I've said in the Perception Deception at length, that what we call Saturn is a major part of this, but so is the moon. And within the moon, it is within the moon, you know, there's so many anomalies on the moon, so many indications of non-natural phenomena on the moon, but the real place where it's all being orchestrated from, if you like, in terms of the moon, is inside the moon. And when you see the Star Wars concept, the George Lucas Star Wars concept of the Death Star, in which you find Darth Vader and that mob, the concept of the Death Star is very close to actually, it would very strongly seem, what is going on, in the sense that it's a computer system, in effect, a fantastically advanced computer system and broadcast system, which is broadcasting a fake reality. And so humans are living their lives thinking they're living in a certain world, and they're not. They're living in a fake world, just like the Matrix movies. And when you then look at ancient accounts, be it Zulu, be it Gnostic, whatever, you find this theme again of entities operating from the hidden that are manipulating fake illusory realities to hold humanity in servitude, believing they are experiencing a certain world when they are not. Now, what I've found here as I've been talking is what this entity is reported to have said in terms of the moon. And this project was called the CHANI project, Channeled Holographic Access Network Interface is what it was called. And this is what the entity said about the moon. And this absolutely took me aback, because it confirmed so much and more actually than I'd put together at that point and put in the books. It said, the moon is not a natural heavenly body. Life was better for humans before the moon came. Moon forces control time and manipulate the mood of humans. Absolutely. The moon is there to control the Earth's mood, manipulating emotion, keeping us in low vibrational emotional states. And a big calm would come over the Earth without the moon. There would only be little storms, not big storms. The old race, what I call the Archons, captured the moon from space and located it next to the Earth. That's what the Zulus say. That's what other ancient accounts say. Without the moon, this entity is supposed to have said, people and animals would become calm and peaceful, and anxiety and fear would dramatically decline. The oceans would be much calmer. Heavy thunderstorms and lightning would be rare, and the climate would be balanced with no extreme heat or cold. Wow. Without the moon, telepathic and interdimensional communication would become widespread, and people would be able to see new colors in an enhanced color spectrum. Why? Because this broadcast, this fake matrix, is holding us in a certain band of frequency perception. Once that was gone, our frequency would expand and rise, and we'd start to see higher frequencies in the color spectrum. This is why people who have near-death experiences say over and over again, the colors were so vibrant when I left the body.
Absolutely.
It said, there would be major changes to the human rest. This is an interesting one, Maria, which came out of left field to me, but makes sense. There would be major changes to the human respiratory system as blood and breathing chemistry changed. Those born after the moon's demise would be able to hold their breath underwater for hours at a time. And, you know, when you put all this information together from ancient and modern sources, it's clear as day that the moon is not a natural body, or at least it's a construct, if not a completely unnatural body. And these scientists, these Soviet scientists, were explaining what would have to be done to hollow out a planetoid and turn it into what it's become. And what they were describing and the effects on the surface of what would be done, in terms of what they would have to do to the surface to make it able to survive all the stresses of space and impact and hot and cold, is what the moon looks like. And, you know, when you then look at what they say they've found on the moon, like they found rocks that are sitting in dust, which is phenomenally older than the rocks that's sitting in them, and all these anomalies that they come up with, these Soviet scientists were explaining that as this planetoid spacecraft or whatever was passing through endless different parts of what we call space over phenomenal amounts of what we call time, it would be picking up all these different things. And therefore, when people look at it today, they say, well, all this anomaly, I mean, this is so old, and that's much... And they say, and this is hilarious, really. They say in mainstream science, well, they did. It didn't make any sense. I think they've given up on it. That the moon was created when a Mars-type planet collided with the Earth as it was forming, and a chunk of the Earth went off and became the moon. Well, that makes no sense from the constituents of the moon compared with Earth. But they call it the big wallop theory or something close to that, and what they then decided that one bang was not enough. It didn't actually answer or tell the story that made any sense. So they reconstructed the story that this Mars-type planet hit the Earth and then went away and then came back and gave it another smack.
Mm.
And it's just fantasy. It's ridiculous.
Right.
You know, the lengths that right. mainstream science goes to try to explain things it can't explain. Why can't it just say we don't know? You know,
right.
I mean,
that would be a terrible thing for them to admit. David, I want to thank you so much. I hate to end the show because it's getting so interesting, and maybe we'll pick this up on our next chat. But thank you so much for joining me today, and please take good care of yourself.
Okay, Maria. See you. Bye.
Bye. David Icke. Check out his work. The Perception Deception is great. His website, davidicke.com. And I'll be back tomorrow with the news and maybe a surprise. Stay.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.